Blog Talk Radio.
Appreciate you joining us, and we have another about 45 minutes with you tonight, and we want to share with you another informative podcast episode, and we hope that you'll give us a call. You can give me a call here at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944, and we appreciate you tuning in with us. I anticipate that another gentleman will be calling in, and his name is Mr. George Thomas. Hey, how you doing, Valerie? And George is a candidate in the Democratic primary, which is going to be held next week on August 2nd. And tomorrow is the last day of early voting. I understand he'll be calling in to the show tonight. He'll join our general discussion, and we'll give him an opportunity to properly introduce himself and speak. And that's open to every and anybody. You know, as we've said, constituent advocacy is just that. We want our voters to be well-informed, and we want you to make a good decision come November the 6th based on knowledge and power and empowerment. That's really what this educational voter education series is about. So we will wait to see if he joins us tonight, and if he does, we will certainly recognize him as anyone. Give us a call here. You can call. If you're watching this live stream, you can join the conversation live by simply calling 657-383-0944. As customary, I will give some background on our topic tonight. Now, my participation in various community-based discussions, debates, and or forums with other candidates for political office, I've listened. And I paid attention. And I've come to the conclusion that one or two things exist. Either many people are just simply misinformed about the purpose of the criminal justice system in America, or there are individuals intentionally misleading the masses on the latter. Either way, I hope to provide some clarity on what the criminal justice system is. And this is most related to the question, criminal justice reform? So that begs the question tonight, what does criminal justice reform mean? What do you mean by that? To get an understanding of that, let's understand what the criminal justice system is. Okay, and that's where we're going to go tonight, just for a few minutes, and we'll be opening up our phone lines to you, our listening audience, to join us in this join me in this dialogue, this conversation. I don't mind hearing from you. You may not agree with my position. That's perfectly fine. The purpose of this is instructional dialogue and communication, and that's the one thing, one of the many things that we lack in our community as among our voters. And that's both white and black. We're not doing enough conversation with one another, and we definitely need to do more of that, okay? All right, so in just a few minutes, I'm going to open up our phone lines, and you can give me a call here. Again, that number to call directly into the studio is 657-383-0944. All right, and so let's get right with it. I want to begin by first giving a a functional definition. And where I get my information is from a combination of Black's Law Dictionary and other literary tools in the legal system. Basically, you can, and I'll reference you specifically to Black's Law Dictionary. Okay, so this is where I'm getting my information from, and that is a lexicon of the American jurisprudence system. So all the terms and jargons that they use in the courts and the legal system, this is where that comes from. Okay, let's define criminal justice. It is the delivery of fairness to those who have committed crimes. Huh? In theory, the aims of the criminal justice process includes, one, the rehabilitation of that individual who's considered to be a criminal, one who committed a crime, or an offender. That's the formal term. All right? Two, preventing them from reoffending through some legal measures, okay? And three, providing moral support to their victims, those who are the victims of the perpetrator or the offender, all right? That's the aim of the criminal justice system, all right? Now, let's talk about the institutions that are associated very closely with the criminal justice system in America. The primary institutions of the system include the police or law enforcement. It includes prosecutors or defense attorneys. It includes the court system itself. And then, lastly, the prison. I know there's a lot of sentiment, a lot of emotional things about this conversation, this topic, and that's why we have it. We're going to get to it, okay? And we're going to try to explain to you what the system is designed for. So when we talk about reforming it, we'll fully understand what can and what can't happen realistically, all right? So let's talk about first the function of the police or law enforcement in the criminal justice system. It is there to ensure that there is preservation of peace and public safety through the enforcement of federal, state, and local laws by providing support and assistance during emergency-type situations, as we see on the news quite often, right? We have patrols designated in districts to ensure that each of those places are safe and that things are okay. That's the police role in the criminal justice system. Their job is not to beat you up, not to dog you out, and of course we know the history in America of policing and how some bad things have happened with racial tensions and so forth during the Jim Crow era, and so we're going to get to that. But I want you to know what the formal purpose of it is, okay? Now let's talk about the role of the prosecutors or defense attorneys in the criminal justice system. Both the prosecutor and the defense lawyer are attorneys, right? They participate in trial on criminal cases. In contrast, the defense attorney who attends both civic and criminal trials, the prosecutor only works with criminal cases. So they strive to prove that you committed this crime, that you're guilty, and thus you should be properly punished. All right? Now, let's talk about the role of the court system. The court system provides a forum by which issues can be resolved in the criminal justice system. So if somebody accused you of something and there's a dispute about it, the courts provide this forum, this body, this place where someone who is in the position to give a legal judgment in the interest of everybody can do so. All right? That's the role of the court. And so we got a situation where the police deals with the situation out in the public venue, right? And you're entitled, these are individuals that are accused of a crime. You're entitled to due process by the Sixth Amendment. I'm not an attorney. Let me make that very clear. I'm just an informed constituent, a citizen. You by the Sixth Amendment, you have a right to due process, right? And so that's really what the criminal justice system provides. when the police bring you in, you have a right to legal representation to defend your constitutional right. Then the courts hear that, a judge. All right? Then, lastly, if you're found guilty of the charges that are leveled against you, there are sentencing designed. And typically, these crimes and their punishment are determined by your state legislature, okay, in what a body of laws called Tennessee Codes Annotated. We're speaking about Tennessee right now. All right, and in there, they stipulate what the proper punishment is for a given offense that has been committed. The police didn't make up the law. The judge didn't make up the law. They only adjudicated. But your legislators, your senators, your House of Representatives, they're the ones who propose this, bring the bill, pass the law, it goes to the governor, and the governor signs it, and it becomes law for the state of Tennessee. So long as it doesn't supersede the authority of the federal government, we good. All right? So those are those three branches. Let's go back over them right quickly. We're talking about the role of the police. You're talking about the role of your defense attorneys and prosecutors, all right? And you have a right to be defended and to a speedy trial, according to the Sixth Amendment. And we're talking about the function of the courts, who hear that and provide that there's fairness in this process. Then lastly, the prison. What does the prison do? Well, they have four major purposes. These purposes are to ensure retribution. In other words, whatever offense that was committed, the person that is the victim will have retribution. Society will have retribution by the sentence. Incapacitation, stopping that individual from offending and hurting someone else likewise. Okay? Deterrence, not only for the individual that committed the crime, but others who may think or may consider do the same thing. Two criminal psychologists, Yosem and Sam, and I wrote that all of us have a tendency to commit a crime. The difference between whether or not we do that is how well socially we are and how well we're able to control our impulses. Very interesting. All right. And rehabilitation. Now, I understand that in the 1970s it was written into law that the Department of Correction in Tennessee would strive to rehabilitate those who are brought there for sentence for a crime. It seems to me that somehow we don't really see that. When we look at the recidivism, individuals go in, they come out, they reoffend. Part of the problem is they go right back to the same triggering environment, and there has been no resolution to the issues and the social troubles that caused them to offend in the first place. Now, what I'm suggesting from a legislative position is that we can provide support, education, and community-based guidance so that we can eliminate those and reduce the chances of such things. Okay? Now, let's talk about what the citizen is for. Because we're talking about criminal justice. Yeah, when you commit a crime, now you're in the system. You're on paper, and we got to deal with you. But is it possible for you not to get in the system? What is it that's expected civically of a citizen, you and I? Stay informed of the issues affecting your community. Have I been talking about that? Respect and obey all laws from the federal level, state level, and local level. Well, what if you don't know them? Then we must make sure that all of our residents, our citizens, are informed, empowered by knowledge. That's what this voter education series is all about. Respect the rights and beliefs and opinions of other people. Some people don't like people in the LGBT community. You still don't have a right to disrespect their rights. They have rights as citizens as you do. Some people used not like black folk. They still had rights, right? This is the role of the citizen. So you show due respect and regard for everyone. You might not like a fathead guy like me. I mean, come on now. I mean, but respect, I got a right to be fathead and good looking. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's stay focused. and have a due regard for authority in society. That's it, people. Listen, if we do that, you don't have to find yourself as a victim of the criminal justice system. All right, I got a call online, 615-400-7667. Who are we speaking with tonight?
This is George Thomas, Brother Dockery. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? Thank you for keeping your word and coming to join us. George, let me give you a minute to properly introduce yourself and tell our listening audience in Senate District 19 just what you're doing and what you like to do. Let me give you a couple of minutes to do so. Go ahead, sir. Take the floor.
First of all, I want to say thank you for inviting me on your show. My name is George Thomas. 27 years ago, I came to Nashville on a band scholarship to go to Tennessee State University. After graduating from Tennessee State University, I went to graduate school, and there I interned with the Tennessee Black Caucus, and that led to me becoming a legislative aide, and subsequently, that experience was my first entree in knowing what the political process is all about. It's a lot different than what you talked about, the three branches of government, the legislative, judicial, and executive branch. We have the opportunity to make rules, make laws, and to really impact people's quality of life in a positive way. But for so often, legislators have put their faith in lobbyists opposed to putting their priorities in the people. And so we have this opportunity right now. I'm as a candidate. I'm a candidate for state Senate District 19 to really engage everyone in the political process. That's
right.
Regardless of age, regardless of race, regardless of gender, and more importantly, regardless of income, you have to have a seat at the table. If you don't have a seat at the table, more than likely you're on the menu. And so you know what's best for you. You know what's best for your life. And I'm looking to make sure that we leave no zip code behind in District 19. One of the ways that we can do that by informing and empowering and equipping our residents, what we call constituents, what they can do to move their lives forward. You talked about the criminal justice issues. I had the opportunity to meet with General Glenn Funk, and we talked about the school zone laws. So the school zone laws is an amplified zero tolerance issue that stems from the school system. School zone laws saying if you caught as a dealer doing selling drugs by school, your sentence is maximized by 10 or 20%, and this that's on top of whatever the crime is. And so we talked recently at a conversation we had at the at one of the political forums, and the gross mismanagement at our for our elected officials now. We have a contract in place for a private prison company that says you have to have 90%+ occupancy. If you don't have 90%+ people in jail, then the state has to pay a fine. That's an outrageous and outlandish contract. Crime is going down. And so a legislator should be able to involve everyone in the process or even at the press conference to say, well, if crime's going down, why do we have a contract in place that says we have to keep jails full? And so now we get into the meat of the problem, Dockery, where we have these poor people crying. And so drive license issue. There's so many things, but, you know, it starts with education.
And I said clearly,
out of every four people in public high schools, and specifically in Nashville in District 19, one out of four people only reads on eighth grade level. So that means you say three kids are in school, but they have not properly been equipped
and educated
to understand how they're being educated, what they're being asked of them. And so it becomes frustrating because they don't see the value of how they can win. And so
sure.
nobody wants to
okay.
sign up for the failure program. And my goal
okay.
is to make sure that we work with people like you, Dockery, that understand that it's better to collectively
sure.
do something to educate and empower our young people through education, opposed to just
yes,
locking people up and throwing away the key.
Agreed. Now, George, let me do this. I hope you can stay with us so we don't confuse my listening audience. They know that I, too, am running as a candidate in November for the Tennessee 19th Senatorial District. Right now, George is in the Democratic primary, and I will be on the ballot as an independent. I hope to see George in November. I had an opportunity to meet him, know him to be a fine gentleman, and we both are trying to do the same thing, right? And so at the end of the day, we will have a senator to replace Senator Thelma Hopper, and both George and I are doing what we can to bring our best ideas to the table and make the difference. So that's somebody asked me, you going to let him come? Absolutely. Well, that's a good brother, you know. Let him. Hey, what our constituents need is the ability to make a good decision, okay? Now, George and I have different platforms somewhat, but we do have similarity in agreement, and he is a constituent. George, with all due respect, when I go to the Senate, I'll be representing your interests as well, my friend. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
And that's the way this thing
okay.
goes. It's not about you fighting or being nasty and ugly with nobody. We all live in Senate District 19. At the end of the day, I'll be the senator for everybody, Democrats, Republicans, Independents. If you belong to the Mickey Mouse Party, I'll be your senator too. Let me do this, George. I've got 23 minutes. Listening audience, if you're following us on Facebook or if you're listening on the podcast platform, give me a call right now. George and I would love – George, you don't mind taking a few questions, do you?
No, sir. Let's do it. Let's educate
okay.
the public.
All right. 657-383-0944. We're having a brotherly, sisterly conversation tonight on Open Mic with Reuben Dockery. And we have, again, with us tonight, sitting in, Mr. George Thomas, who is a candidate for the 19th Senatorial District. But he is right now pushing hard to be the Democratic nominee on August 2nd of 2018. And if he's successful, he and I will be on the ballot in November of 2018. All right. With that being said, so, George, I have a question for you while we wait on any callers to call in. The number, again, is 657, oh, right here in the studio, 388-0944. George, my question is, you were talking earlier about, you used the scenario of the zero tolerance law. And let's make it personal to me. Let's say I brought an illegal amount of cocaine in this school zone, and I had a weapon on me, and I had cash. Am I breaking
yes.
the law, George? Am I breaking the law?
You are absolutely breaking the law.
Okay.
For one, all school zones are safe places.
They're supposed
and
to be.
For
yes,
you
sir.
To, yeah. All school zones are safe places. And when we talked about zero tolerance, we have mm-hmm. to respect that guns are not permitted, knives are not permitted, weapons are not permitted because the learning environment, our goal is to keep it safe and drug-free. And so we
right.
have a problem with any person bringing an object to cause harm to their fellow man, a fellow woman, a classmate.
Okay. Hold on. Before you, I had a two parts to my question. You answered the first part. Yes, I was breaking the law. I committed an offense, right?
Right.
I offended the will of society. Now, my second part of the question, I think you were going into that, is irregardless to the fact that I'm good guy Dockery, I'm breaking the law, and I did not have any regard for, as you described, society's will that are the safe zones from all of that, right? I didn't have any regard to that because I brought it anyway. What should society do with me if I show such a blatant disregard for the safety and the security particularly about babies. What should society do for me, George?
Okay, Jimmy, I'm just kind of fair.
George, you there? Okay, it looks like he got distracted.
Okay.
That's the question to the rest of the listening audience for the next 19 minutes we have here. What should society do to me if I have such a blatant disregard for prescribed law and order? Okay? Now, I understand that when you get to your immediate social context in the hood, in the neighborhood around the people you're used to, there are pro-social, proscriptive rules and guidance versus prescriptive rules and guidance of society. And we're talking about sociology right now. And they're designed for the better good of everybody. Just join us when you get back there, George. Proscriptively, it's okay for you to be illegal, and the no snitch rule said we ain't going to tell on you. Right? Proscriptively, that's fine. But prescriptively, where we have a law, as I mentioned earlier, that is prescribed by your legislature, by the will of the people, those that sent you that are representative, it states what should and should not be done. And if I violate that, prescriptively, I'm in violation, and there is a process by which that is to be dealt with. Now, I agree. People say we've got to reform the criminal justice system. Well, the criminal justice system is designed to provide you due process of the law, according to the Sixth Amendment. That's what it's designed. That's the spirit of the criminal justice. And I mentioned that there are four different functions in there, right? But you have a responsibility as well. I have a responsibility, and that is to make sure that I stay above the punishment of the law by being in order as a citizen. George, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What say you to that?
Sorry, Ruben, I got called on in the
You got some
meeting.
Things going on?
Right. Yes, sir. Ruben,
okay.
Can I... I'm going to have to cut our call short.
Okay.
But I think what I'm
Hey, I understand. Get back with
us
next Friday, George. Get back with us next Friday.
All right, thank you.
All right. All right, sir. So he's doing what he got to do. But we got another 17 minutes, and y'all listening to me. You following me, right? The truth of the matter is, I'm not going to lie to you. And I know that we're tired of seeing our boys go to jail. But I'm tired of seeing our boys kill one another. I'm tired of seeing our boys and girls now carjacking folks. Just if you don't believe me, look at your local news. Now, the truth of the matter is, if we don't start the criminal justice system in your home at birth, see, I said this the other night at a forum that I was at. I'm the judge, the jury, and the executor in my house for my children from birth. I don't mean I got to abuse them. But I establish order for them and hold them to account to that order. And when they become adults and independent, free-thinking citizens, guess what? Then they hold themselves accountable to that same rule and order. But as a parent, it is my duty first to be the voice of authority in the life of my children. If I don't know how to do that, perhaps we should seek ways to go get that. Now, on my website, constituentadvocacy.com, I've taken the time to suggest via a video recording and an instructional video how parents working in the context of law can benefit from certain resources. Now, as your legislator, what I can do at the beginning of the legislative session is we can have serious conversation about what kind of budget should be set aside for certain resources that will come back to your given council district or your voting precinct. Now, we don't want it to get lost in your local government's capers, and it never get to you. That's what's been happening too much, and I want to change that because there are a lot of good people, if they actually had benefit of the resource, sometimes they don't know, and sometimes people know and they don't care. We got to change that too. It's a mindset. What's important is that you need to understand how your government works and how you work with your government. I think it was Kennedy that said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I mean, there's something to that. There's something to that. Now, at the end of the day, we have a right, but, beloved, we also have responsibility in society. I don't want to see nobody go to jail. I don't want to see nobody dead. I personally, in my work through my nonprofit, have attended courtrooms and been present when one mother of a deceased child had to sit across and face the mother of the perpetrator that killed her child. Very sad sight. Too often, both of the children grew up together from the same neighborhood, went to the same schools, shared the same social experience. The devil is getting 2-for-1, and I don't want him to get that no more. I didn't come to preach tonight, but I felt my help right there. And listen, what I'm saying is that we're in a position through our vote to choose someone to sit in the 19th senatorial district seat that will take all of this to account as they serve as a legislator. What do the legislator do? We talked about this before in previous shows. The legislator is there to make sure that as laws are brought forth that they both are fair and equitable, but consistent across the board for everybody, right? In that way, they don't violate anybody's rights. They're there to make sure that the resources that are allocated from state funding, from fees and taxes and so forth and so on, that were levied against you, the constituent, the taxpayer, are equally distributed. So there are 33 senatorial districts in Tennessee, right? District 19 is one of them. There is a fair process and equal distribution of the resources that come into the state. And I understand that now we're in the black. Tennessee is in the black, you know, so we have a reserve. I'm not advocating that you irresponsibly spend all the money we got. That's far from what I'm saying. However, I am saying that we need to look at how we distribute funds from this point forward, because many constituents, and I've talked about this in you still got time. While you do that, I do want to thank Mr. Thomas again for coming on. Some might argue he got guts. Well, I wasn't looking to gut him, but you've heard where he's coming from. You heard what his platform is. And somebody, I don't care who it is, are going to meet me on the ballot after August 2nd. And they have to come with it. And be real, because DACRA is seeking to serve the interests of 192,000 plus souls in this Senate district. And whoever that is, I still love them, but they're in my way. It would have been better if they had just stayed out of the way. But that's what it is. I mean, we're going to work hard, and we're going to fight to serve the interests of the people. That's why we're in it. Now, I'll just say this. Everything that I'm talking about on my platform is encapsulated in a 50-page proposal that I wrote in 2011 to then the President Obama's administration education department. It's called a Promised Neighborhood Grant. And I proposed how we can address the needs of citizens in Nashville-Davidson County with federal dollars that were available for you to apply. Requests for proposals were out there, right? And so what did I do? I'm just a fat-headed preacher trying to get to heaven, right? Well, I'm a nonprofit executive, and I'm a community advocate. So I go to my elected officials, and I say to them, hey, listen, here it is. I need your letter of support. Somebody may not go, Doc, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, we didn't know that was going to even help. That was going to work. Well, we don't know, and guess what? Everything I identified as in the needs assessment as a problem has only gotten worse. We've had more young people to be expelled from schools, to drop out, and to go into the criminal justice system, in the juvenile justice system, to only graduate either to the grave or to the adult prison system. Now, we could have prevented that. I'm certain of that. All I wanted my elected officials to do was support the effort to try. We often talk about what people and the members of the community should do to help. There are people who want to, but there are barriers. And that's one of the things as a legislator I'm going to ensure that we do. There are a lot of small grassroots efforts and mom-pop nonprofits and so forth. Because they're not big name and not well connected, they don't get to expand their services to the people they know how to serve well. We need to change that, people. Now, I know what the problem is. For instance, education, $300 billion industry. Did you hear what I said? $300 billion nationally. A lot of money being made, right? Then explain to me like I'm 3 years old why so many children are still coming out of high school and can't read or do math. Somebody help me with that. What I'm hearing is that money's being spent and people are being paid good with that money on the backs and at the expense of others. We got to change that. That's what Change 2018 is all about. Now, am I so naive to think that I'm going to cut everybody out? No, and I'm not even suggesting that it takes money to run business and operate these things. I understand that. All I'm simply saying is let's be fair about it. Because I know some people, like myself, who have a pretty good handle of what the problem is and how to solve the problem. What we need to do is have a fair and equitable process by which those resources can be properly leveled to people as myself, and I'm speaking now as my role as a founder of a nonprofit organization in Nashville, Tennessee, for over 20 years now. We operate on the grassroots level. You understand what I'm saying? And so my whole point, though, is not about me. It's about you. That's why we talk about constituentadvocacy.com. That's our webpage. I was asked, why you didn't put your name on it, on your webpage? Well, because it's really not about Reuben Dockery, other than Reuben Dockery being a citizen servant. It's about serving you and your interests. I don't care what you look like, where you come from, what you do. Now, we got to be in order. That's what we were talking about tonight. That's what we were talking about tonight. When we talk about criminal justice reform, if you're suggesting that we should eliminate any punishment for crime and offense, that's unrealistic. I would wager that that's not going to happen. In fact, there are people of society, black and white, who want to make sure that there's law and order and safety. I happen to be one of those. Now, as your friend, I want to tell you how to be in order. That's the best way I can help you. Not to cover for you or aid and abet. But to help you be in order. See? And I've had conversation with people. I got 5 minutes here. I'm scared for my son, and they can get in trouble. Well, listen. And but one way I know, you vocational training. Wow. That is absolutely right. And I'm going to digress from my thought there. One of the things that we have to realize is that everybody's not going to go in those traditional tracks of education into certain fields. But young people are kinesthetic learners, particularly African-American male, and vocational skill training that was taken out of the curriculum of the public school has been of great detriment, I believe. If we put it back in, if they don't put it in, if we, the constituents, ensure that we have it in our communities, in our neighborhoods, guess what? We're in a good position to make sure that those young guys are able to use their skills and produce for themselves. I'm fighting to bring 250 new business startups over the next 4 years in District 19. And I have 25 categories by which that may fall under. You'll see it on my website real soon, probably by next week. And what happens is these are vocationally related skill sets that an individual can own their own business. Well, when you start your business, we teach you how to thrive. You hire your neighbors, even if they're felons. and they're trying to clean their life up. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. And those are the type of legislation and supports we need legislatively as well as economically. When we do that, we can make it. So sounds like my plan that I shared weeks ago, and yes, it worked. I like you, my friend. Brother Andre. That's Brother Andre. Brother Andre, I appreciate that, man. It ain't right because doctor said it. It's right because that's what we need. And guess what, brother? With your help, we can make that happen. You send me to the state senate, my brother, and we're going to make sure we're going to drop it just like it's hot. We're going to drop it like it's hot. I got another 3 minutes here. I can entertain maybe one or two calls if you call me right now, 657-383-0944. If not, meet me again next Friday. Next Friday. Again, we will not be on the ballot on August the 2nd on Thursday, but you'll hear me and you'll see me from August 2nd on to November 6th. When you see me, don't throw no egg at me now. I'm rolling on your block deep. And when you see me, just come on out, shake my hand, let's talk about it. But you can join us right here on this podcast every Friday night, 7 o'clock. Lord willing, we'll continue to do it. And we want to make sure we are all informed. I don't have a problem with the candidates coming. Of course, it's the last week before the August election. There'll be three of us on the ballot. You won't find Hickory. You won't find Dickory. But you will find Dockery. That's Reuben Dockery for Tennessee Senate District 19. We need to have a full conversation up at the lounge. Let's do it. My personal number is 615-478-4233. 615-478-4233. Give me a holler. Let's have that conversation, man. And we can. I'm looking forward to making things happen. That's all. I'm yours. Signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm yours. We are grateful. We got about another minute. Man, time is flying. Our time is just about up here. Thank you all, Facebook friends and group. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Share this information. Post it out. Share it with your friends and your neighbors. And do. ConstituentAdvocacy.com is the webpage. Please check it out. I'm not just running my mouth. We've taken the time to provide a research-based platform for Tennessee Senate District 19 over the next 4 years. I'd love for you to check us out. It's all on the website there. There will be some new things added for your information. And we appreciate you guys. Time has gotten away from me now. I know you want to leave me, but I got to go. And we'll see you next Friday night, same time, 7 o'clock p.m. We'll be posting some things out there. Tell your friends and families to join us here in dialogue with us. I'm happy to have this done. If we get when we get more participation, we can extend our time longer. But we certainly want you to know that we want to open the floor to you for this type of substantive conversation. Well, this is your candidate, Reuben Dockery, for Tennessee Senate District 19, November 2018, and I'm going to end the show with Public Enemy. They said, look here, don't believe the hype. They talking about I'm a criminal. They the criminal. All right, thank you again for joining us. And we'll see you
next time. Don't believe the hype.
Yes, was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, it's so consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the pulp and pray it ain't dope. The follow of Farrakhan, he'll tell me that you understand until you hear the man. The book up the new school rap game, writers treat me like Coltrane.